Morning, everyone, and welcome to the Health Action and CEs Coalition's first Digital Medicaid Advocacy Day press call. Our coalition is comprised of diverse organizations and individuals from mountains to sea, working for many years to urge lawmakers to expand access to health care for each North Carolina resident, and in recent years to fully implement the Affordable Care Act by expanding Medicaid. And by the way, we can give them 500,000 reasons why, no excuses. We've met people who are stuck in the Medicaid coverage gap who had treatable diagnoses that turned into devastating disabilities and even premature death. But with COVID-19, both a health and economic crisis, it has exposed the inefficiencies and inequities in our system. In our great state of North Carolina, all we need to be arguing about is who's got the best barbecue, whether it's Eastern or Western North Carolina. We should not be deciding whether people deserve in this state access to quality, equitable health care. We must demonstrate we're in this together by expanding Medicaid with no more delay. Now I'm going to turn it over to Kelly to protect our care. Related to Representative Insko is going to kick us off this morning.
Representative Insko, why don't you go ahead? Thanks.
This is State Representative Verla Insko representing Orange County and the people of North Carolina. Thank you so much for doing this. I applaud the Justice Center for their diligence and persistence and not giving up, and am happy to join this morning. I think we all remember the many, many reasons why we should be expanding Medicaid. We're sending millions of our tax dollars to other states that would bring back that money into North Carolina and help our economy, really. It would create 37,000 new jobs, cover up to 500,000 people who are currently uninsured, most of whom are working or were working before the layoffs. Because people would be covered, we wouldn't have to cover so much uncompensated care through our health care insurance premiums, and so premiums would go down for people who have commercial care right now. There's another issue that is very dear to my heart, and that has to do with the mentally ill. If we were to expand Medicaid, then Medicaid would cover the cost of any of our incarcerated patients being hospitalized, and we know that many of our mentally ill have ended up in prisons and are not receiving the care that they have there. So any of those patients that were, or any incarcerated patient, would be, Medicaid would pay for their any hospital care they had. But the COVID-19 crisis has really expanded our need for this expansion this year and made it very critical. We have 105,000 people, at least that many, who are unemployed now. Probably the numbers are greater as we get more and more people registering for unemployment insurance. But many of those people have lost their insurance that they had with their insurance with their job, and so those people will need to continue their care. So that, and these are people often who have chronic illnesses, hypertension and blood pressure issues, and diabetes. So they're at risk. But I think the main reason we need to expand Medicaid is that I think healthcare is a fundamental right. It should be in our Constitution, and it shouldn't be something that we argue about. We are a stronger state if we live with healthy people. I am stronger. It benefits me to have everyone around me be healthy and employed and working and contributing to the economy. So I'm really hopeful that we can get something done this year. I know that we'll continue working on it if we can, if that doesn't happen. And I appreciate the opportunity to comment.
Thank you so much, Representative Insko. North Carolina is really proud to have you represent us, especially the District 56. Representative Insko is in her 10th term and is a retired health program administrator and certainly knows what she's talking about. So thank you so much. Next up, we have Joe Weisfeld. Joe is the Director of Medicaid Initiatives at Families USA, and he focuses on equity and coverage and related issues, especially the Medicaid program. Joe?
Great. Thank you, Nicole, and thank you, Representative Insko. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. As many of you know, North Carolina is one of 15 states that has not expanded their Medicaid program to adults with incomes up to 138% of the federal poverty level. And at least four of those states are positioned to implement expansion in the next year. There's clearly momentum among states to expand. That is because evidence links Medicaid expansion to gains in coverage, access, financial security, health, and economic benefits for providers and beneficiaries alike. Expansion also offers states increased federal funding, as Representative Insko mentioned. Yet a small group of states continue to block attempts to expand the program. These policymakers are hurting their state's financial and physical health. This point is especially poignant as the COVID-19 crisis worsens. Americans need to have health coverage to access testing and treatment for COVID-19. Yet many working North Carolinians are rapidly losing their jobs and their job-based insurance. According to recent reports, nearly 250,000 North Carolinians lost their job-based coverage between March 14th and April 11th. In states like North Carolina that have not expanded Medicaid, people who lose their job-based health insurance typically have no good options for staying covered. Medicaid expansion would offer a lifeline to these newly uninsured individuals. A trip to the emergency room would no longer put them at risk of bankruptcy, and coverage means folks seek out necessary care that helps keep the community healthy, like COVID-19 testing and treatment. Medicaid expansion would also protect our essential workforce. At a time when we are leaning on individuals in food preparation, direct care, and transportation, and many other fields, these are industries that absolutely need to be covered, and we need to be covering them. And Medicaid offers a pathway for quick and comprehensive coverage for these individuals. It is also good economics. At a time of economic uncertainty, it's a way to replace uncompensated care with reliable reimbursement for struggling hospitals and providers. This is especially true for rural hospitals, where being in a Medicaid expansion state decreases your chance of closure by 62%. Medicaid expansion isn't just the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do. Expansion will put North Carolina in a better position to respond to this economic and public health crisis and future ones. Brings in new federal funds, that is, North Carolina's taxpayer dollars that would otherwise go to other states. It leverages the existing Medicaid program and infrastructure, so nothing new is needed to respond to the crisis. And it offers cost-effective coverage to hundreds of thousands who desperately need it. Working people need access to care, especially in the midst of a historic health crisis. Lives are at stake, and it's time to implement Medicaid expansion in North Carolina. And thank you for having me today, and I will pass it back to you, Nicole.
Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate all your comments and sure look forward to hearing more from you during the Q&A portion of the call. So now next up we have Penelope Wingard. Penelope is our storyteller who has decided to spend some time with us this morning to share her story about how the lack of Medicaid expansion in North Carolina has impacted her life. Penelope, welcome.
Hi, my friends call me Penny, and thank you for having me. I used to be a after-school teacher, and now I'm a caretaker. I work a couple of hours a day just to, you know, get my ends meet financially, which is not very much. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2013. I completed my treatment in 2014, which was covered by the North Carolina Breast Care Cervix Cancer Program, which helped me get through the treatment. But as soon as my radiation was over with, I lost my health care insurance. And during that time, I found out I had a brain aneurysm when I was going through treatment. A year later, I had surgery on that. I had a clip done. The clip didn't work, and I had surgery again, which was costing a lot of money for me because I had no insurance. Then about two years later, I lost my vision, which I had to have surgery for that. And In fact, I'm facing a huge amount of debt, which is over $25,000. But I'm currently enrolled in the sliding scale program, which is helping me obtain some doctors and covering some medicines that I need. But the program is not perfect. It has a lot of problems with it, getting certain doctors to do certain care. And sometimes I have to go out of pocket to pay for certain care to obtain my health as far as my eyes, my medicine. I'm still on medicine for my breast cancer that I have to be on for an additional 5 years. And I'm still under the care of my I'm sorry, this is such an emotional story because I've told it so many times and I've gone through so much. And I've had doctors who have, you know, said, don't worry about the payment. We're going to treat you. And one of those doctors is Dr. Graham. And he's my doctor who deals with me for cancer. And so I'm grateful for him for that. And even though I am currently in remission, I still have the fear that this cancer may come back or I may lose my vision. During this time, during this outbreak of this pandemic, Black people are dying at a higher rate than any other ethnic group because they cannot afford to go see a doctor. They cannot afford to maintain medicine if they have high blood pressure, diabetes, or anything else. So expanding Medicaid is very, very important to the state. Like I said, it's important for me to maintain a good, healthy life and maintain my medicine that I need so desperately bad. Sometimes I'm able to get it, and sometimes I'm not able to get it. I'm sorry, like
Penny,
I said,
thank you. Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Don't finish your sentence.
It's very emotional.
Well, Penny, you...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh,
you're going to finish your sentence.
I know because many can't afford doctors or going to the ER, and if they get this virus, the COVID-19 virus, I don't believe they would get the same treatment as if someone had good insurance. I do believe that in my heart, because if an uninsured person goes to the hospital with this virus and an insured person goes who has good insurance, I think it would be a difference in treatment. That's just the way I feel about it.
Yeah.
We can no longer ignore this situation with people without insurance. The medicine that they need for progressive illness, medicine, it needs to be affordable. It needs to be provided for them. And this is, I did not mean, this is something I need to say. When I drove down the highway, and I looked to the left of me, I saw about 100 homeless people in tents. And the majority of those homeless people were Black people who were out there in this virus that could potentially be carrying this virus and get sick. And they have no way of getting any kind of help because they don't have insurance. Even if they go to the ER, what help are they going to get? One of my friends went to the ER and was sent back home, and they died 2 weeks ago. I forgot to mention this. They died.
Mm-hmm.
So we do to expand this. Mm-hmm. We do. And this is a fight that we cannot lose. We have to continue to fighting for this. Thank you, and thank you for listening to me.
Penny, I hope I can call you Penny. You said that's what your friends call you. So help you consider us as friends in this movement to get you and everyone else in North Carolina what they deserve to be able to see the doctor. And again, we're all truly sorry for the what you experienced with your friend passing away. We are hugely grateful to you for being on this call today to share your health and your economic challenges, which you should not be experiencing in the greatest country and in one of the greatest states in our country. And so I hope that you can stay on the phone, that people, if it's okay, that ask you questions or just let you know how they honor your story and your experiences. And we will work hard. We're committed to working hard and alongside you every day. So thank you so much. And again, really sorry for your story, but thank you for the strength that that you have in sharing it with us today.
And thank you.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Next up, we have Dr. Will Munn. He's our health policy analyst with the Justice Center's Health Advocacy Project. Will?
Thank you so much, Nicole, and thank you for your story, Mrs. Wingard. Good morning. My name is William Munn from the Health Advocacy Project. And as Mrs. Wingard shared, we are seeing nationwide that African Americans are disproportionately contracting and dying from COVID-19. Data from states such as Michigan, Illinois, New York, Alabama, and Louisiana show that the percentage of African Americans who have been diagnosed with and have died from COVID-19 is considerably higher than their representation as a percentage of the population. Right here in North Carolina, if current trends hold, 162 African Americans will die from COVID-19, 70 more than what we would expect if solely based on the demographic groups makeup. Today, that number stands at 100. We find that unacceptable. So today, we are releasing a research brief that explores why it is across the nation, especially in the South, that African Americans are suffering disproportionately from COVID-19. It is titled, African Americans are Contracting and Dying from COVID-19 at Higher Rates. We Know Why. We know that historical discriminatory practices and policies, as well as the nation's failure to value its essential workers, have put African Americans at greater risk. We know that African Americans are more likely than white Americans to work jobs, even multiple jobs, that do not offer health insurance, with many falling into the coverage gap because North Carolina has not expanded Medicaid. We know that African Americans are overrepresented in populations now deemed essential to the well-being of the nation and our state, such as food service, food production, home health care, and nursing home care. These jobs put people who work them at higher risk for contracting the coronavirus. We also know that neighborhoods and counties with high populations of people of color have fewer health care providers and grocery stores, as well as lower air and quality due to the legacy of environmental discrimination. A recently released report from Protect Our Care, A Tough Road to Hoe, details how rural North Carolina in general is ill-positioned to weather the storm from COVID-19, and we all know that this will impact rural African Americans even more. As a result, African Americans have a higher rate of conditions that make COVID-19 more deadly, such as diabetes, chronic lung disease, and hypertension. Again, we find this unacceptable, and in this brief, we explore these challenges and policy solutions, chiefly Medicaid expansion, as remedies to stem the disproportionate suffering for African Americans. To achieve health equity, we must first address societal inequities and challenge policymakers to make the best decisions for all of us. You can find a brief on the North Carolina Justice Center website under publications. Thank you so much, and I'll turn it back over to Nicole.
Thank you so much, Will. Thank you to all of our speakers. I want to remind the press as we move into the question and answer portion that this call is being recorded, and to everyone, this is, because it is recorded, obviously it is on the record, whatever we discussed this morning. So I wanted to see if Kelly had any further instructions for anyone before we start.
Thank you, Nicole, and thank you to everyone who is on the line this morning. We really appreciate you joining us. If you have a question and would like to ask a question of any of our speakers, please press *3 now to enter the Q&A queue. Again, that's *3 to enter our queue.
Thank you, Kelly. Our folks on mute, just as a reminder, we have Representative Insko still joining us, Joe Weisfeld, of course, Penny Wingard, and Will Munn are still on the call.
All right, Nicole, it doesn't look like we have anyone in the Q&A queue at this time, so I will turn it back over to you for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you so much, Kelly. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to join our first, very first digital Medicaid Advocacy Day. We decided that COVID-19, while it's keeping us at home and social distancing, we're not going to be socially isolated. We're going to still join with you all and still let policymakers know that there is to be no excuses to expanding Medicaid. Thank you, Representative Insko, for joining us and for your leadership and what you'll be working on as we join we start session today. And thank you to Joe for coming on from Families and joining the call and speaking about the work that you're doing there for the entire country. Penny, we'll remain connected to you as well. And thank you so much for sharing your story. And we'll continue to work every day with you and with others who deserve to have access to health care as well. And not just any health care, but quality, affordable, and equitable care. And we'll look forward to that report getting out there and hope that you all will stay in touch with us. And thank you again. I hope that you can continue to join us today. Next up, we will have folks who are continuing to contact lawmakers using the hashtag Close the Gap or Expand Medicaid NC. And hope that you will join us on Twitter at 2 o'clock today. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.